The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 12, texts number 6 through 12, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on January 1st, 2013, in Melbourne, Australia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Yastu sarvani karmani mai sanyasyamatparah ananyena vayogena mam jayanta upasate tesham maham samudarta mrityu sansara sagarat bhavami na charat parta maya veshita chetasam. But those who worship me, giving up all their activities unto me, being devoted to me without deviation, engaged in devotional service and always meditating on me, having fixed their minds upon me, O son of Prita, for them I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. You see, ladies and gentlemen, at the present moment, we are caught up in what's called the cycle of birth and death. My microphone just went away. So, this position we presently have within the cycle of birth and death is not our original natural position. In the cycle of birth and death, we are forced to suffer birth, death, old age, and disease, even though we don't really want to suffer these things. But through the process of Krishna consciousness, or bhakti, as described in the Bhagavad Gita, one can become liberated from this cycle and regain an original spiritual form which never gets sick, never gets old, and never dies. So Krishna is describing this here in these verses of the Gita, that those who are completely absorbed in me without deviation, always meditating on me, they are swiftly delivered from birth and death. So then Krishna continues in text number 8, Mayeva mana adatsva mai buddham naveshaya navashashyasi mayeva atta urdvang nasangshayaha. He says, just fix your mind on me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence in me. Thus you will live in me always without a doubt. Well, that sounds pretty good, but how many of us can actually do that? You see? It sounds good on paper, but how many can actually do that? You gotta go to work, you gotta maintain your family, you have to take care of your kids, there's so many things. How are you gonna always just stay absorbed thinking of Krishna? You see? So Krishna then explains the next verse. He says, Abhyase pyasamarto si mat karma paramo bhava madartam api karmani kurvan siddhan avakshasi. If you cannot practice the regulations, oh wait, actually we're skipping one verse. Yeah. Text 9. Atachitam samadatam na saksnoshi mayastiram abhyasa yogena tato mach itchaptam dananshaya. My dear Arjuna, O winner of wealth, if you cannot fix your mind on me without deviation, then follow the regulative principles of bhakti yoga. In this way, develop a desire to attain me. So this is what we teach here at this Hare Krishna temple in the Hare Krishna movement, both to the devotees who live here as full-time temple devotees, or persons living on the outside, raising families, working jobs, running businesses. We teach you how to follow the regulated principles of bhakti yoga in your life by setting a set number of rounds of japa mala every day, offering your food to Krishna, coming to the temple regularly, etc. There are certain rules and regulations, giving up sinful activities. And by doing this, one can actually develop an intense desire to become absorbed in Krishna bhakti 24 hours a day. But what if one is not ready or able to follow all these different regulated principles? Then Krishna describes in the next verse, Abhyase pya samartosi mat karma paramo bhava madartam apikarmani kurvan siddham avapshyati. If you cannot practice the regulations of bhakti yoga, then just try to work for me. Because by working for me, you will come to the perfect stage. So that means you can do some service. Just like you can bring some gift, some offering. Just like when you work your job, you earn some money, and you can take that money, you can buy something you can bring to the deities, or you can give something in the donation box, you see. And this, or you can come and volunteer some service. Many people come and they do some service here. They do by volunteer either some their energy in the form of work or in the form of monetary contributions or a gift. It's like some people can bring some ghee, you know, different things. So now it's like there's some trouble with the microphone. So these young men are working. They're giving their energy to help fix the microphone problem, you see. So this is an example of how you can work for Krishna. Of course, they're also following the regulated principles of bhakti yoga, but even if they weren't, by doing this work of fixing the microphone, any kind of service you can do, sweeping the floor, taking out the garbage, any service you can do here for Krishna, you see, this actually helps you to advance on the pathway. And then the next verse is, Ahaitat apyasakto si kartam yadogam ashrita sarvakarma palatyagam takuru yuyutmavam. If, however, you are unable to work in this consciousness of me, then try to act giving up all results of your work and try to become self-situated. So somebody may want to come here and do service, but their family is against it. Because there may be an atheistic family or something like that. We don't want you going to the Krishna temple and doing any service. We won't let you go. Sometimes the parents won't let their children come. They may even have adult children, but they say, you cannot go there. We don't want you to become too religious. So you're not allowed to go to the Hare Krishna temple. You can do other things. So Krishna says, well, for some reason you're not able to work for me, then do some other kind of work, giving some pious work, you see. Just like you can do some charity service, you know, for helping the poor or something like that. So anything where you become selfless and give up your own sense enjoyment to benefit others, that will also purify you to some extent and qualify you in the future to be able to serve Krishna. Of course, if you can serve Krishna immediately, that's the best thing. But maybe in your family, they won't allow you to come here. Some parents won't allow their children to come here because they don't want their children to become too spiritual. They want their children to be materialistic and make a lot of money to support the parents in their old age, you see. They're afraid, well, if the kids go to the Hare Krishna temple, they won't want to earn a lot of money and support us in our old age, so don't let them go to the temple. So if one is in a situation like that where you're forbidden to come to the temple, then do some kind of charity work to help the poor, help the sick. Do something that helps you to become more selfless and less selfish, you see. To do service for others. And of course, serving Krishna is the supreme welfare. Because when you water the root of the tree, what happens? When you water the root of the tree, all the leaves and branches are nourished. When you feed your belly, every single part of your belly, your body becomes nourished. So Krishna is the root of the whole creation. When you give loving service to Krishna, then automatically you're doing the best welfare work for every single living entity throughout the whole universe. And then Krishna concludes this string of verses. He says, Shreyo hi gyanam abhyasaj gyanat jnanam vishishyate jnanat karma palatyagas tagachantir anantaram. If you cannot take to this practice, then engage yourself in the cultivation of knowledge. So even if you can't do any welfare work, then study these books. Study the Bhagavad Gita, you see. Study these books of transcendental knowledge. Cultivate transcendental knowledge of the nature of the self beyond this material body. So now we've come to the bottom of the... Now Krishna starts going up again. We've come, well, you can't do this, do this, this, this. Now he's come, now he starts going up in the opposite direction again. He says, better than knowledge, however, is meditation. In other words, you can study this knowledge, and that's very good, but even better than that is to meditate. And in this age, the recommended meditation is to chant the holy names of God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. It's recommended actually to study the knowledge and to do the meditation on the name. We knew one young man, he got a set of our Srimad Bhagavatams. He was so happy to study the knowledge. We said, why don't you chant along with your reading? He said, oh no, no, no. I just want to study the knowledge. I don't want to chant. Well, about halfway through the Srimad Bhagavatam, he lost his steam and he gave up his studies. So we recommend, along with studying, do the chanting, read the books, and chant side by side. Because the chanting actually is higher than the study. But the study is important to understand why we should chant. So if you do both of them side by side, then you won't give up the study and the chanting. The chanting will get sweeter, and the studying will get sweeter. So you should read the books and chant together, side by side, like two rails on the train track. And then, Krishna says, but better than meditation is renunciation of the fruits of action. Well, now we're coming up to the point of surrendering to Krishna again. That, my dear Lord, I'm acting, but these fruits of my action, I do not claim them as mine. Now, my Lord, I offer you the fruit of my activities, you see. So that's coming back to the point of surrendering to Krishna again. So in this wonderful string of verses, we can get some very nice focus. Just like now there's a new year, you see. So we can make a resolution on how we want to focus our lives now for this new year, make some better program for ourselves. So for this new year, we should focus, all right, now this year I'm going to focus on becoming Krishna conscious, you see. And whatever I do, I should find a way to connect it with Krishna. According to this string of verses here, whatever level I'm on, let me connect with Krishna. One may ask, well, what is the benefit of doing this anyway? I mean, why do you people worship Krishna here? What's the purpose of having this temple? Why are you people, especially some of you are not from India, you're from, like myself, I'm from America. Why have you taken to this culture? You're not born as Hindus. Why in the world are you doing this? Well, this is actually the perfection of all religious systems. What is taught in the Bhagavad Gita is not a particular sect of religion. What is taught in the Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all religious systems. Whether you're a Christian, a Jew, a Hindu, a Sikh, a Jain, a Muslim, whatever you may be, the essence of every single religious system is to fully surrender yourself to the Supreme Person. Now that Supreme Person has hundreds and thousands of millions of names. Just like in India we have the Vishnu Sahasranam. You see? So God doesn't have only one name. He has unlimited names. 1,000 is just the tip of the iceberg. But devotion, surrender to that one Supreme, whatever name, you call him Krishna, Jehovah, Allah, Govinda, Shamasundar, Nishinga. You see, there are so many. Narayan, Vishnu, whatever name we may use to designate that Supreme Person who is the source of all existence, the actual essence, the true meaning of religion is to surrender to that Supreme Person. So Bhagavad Gita is the perfectional science of how to surrender to that Supreme Person. You see? This science of Bhagavad Gita applies equally to a Christian, a Jew, a Sikh, a Muslim, a Jain, or a Buddhist. this the same science of pure bhakti. So if one can understand that actually I did not create myself, nor did my parents create me, I'm actually being manifested from the Supreme Lord's transcendental form for the purpose of having a loving relationship with Him. That's why I exist. I exist because God wants to have a loving relationship with me. That's why I exist. Therefore, if I can actually do that, if I can actually make a loving relationship with that Supreme Person, then my life becomes perfect. So the whole process of bhakti is taught by the great sages of India, is the highest of all yoga systems. This bhakti system is simply a system of making a loving relationship with God. Krishna tells exactly in the Bhagavad Gita what you have to do to make a loving relationship with Him. For example, in chapter 9, text number 34, Manmanava madbhakto madjanjimang namaskuru mamme vaishashi yukvayvang atmanang matpadayanaha. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee. Offer your obeisances unto me. Worship me. In this way, by becoming fully absorbed in me, you will surely come to me. Krishna is telling, you see. So the devotee learns how to accept Krishna as the supreme lovable object of his life. He dedicates his whole life to Krishna. He engages his wife, his family, or she engages her husband. The whole thing is centered around Krishna or God. In Sanskrit language, this is called Ishavasham. Isha means the Supreme Lord. Ishavasha means the God-centered conception of life. So, in the God-centered conception, we see that actually everything is the property of the Supreme. I mean, think about it. What do you have that you can truly claim belongs to you? Even if you're a multimillionaire, what do you have that truly belongs to you? Actually, nothing. Because you come into this world naked, without any property, you don't even own a pair of you don't even own a pair of diapers when you appear in this world. You come completely naked, and when you leave, there's nothing you can take with you. So what can you claim is actually your property? There's nothing you can claim as your property. We'll have questions. You can write them down. Hand him a piece of paper. He has some questions. Since I'm a little hard of hearing, I'll have all you all can write the questions down on the paper. And in just about 3 or 4 minutes, we'll open it up for questions. So, this is a very beautiful, wonderful conception. If you will understand this point, and you'll center your life on this conception that actually I am not the owner. As we say in Sanskrit language, nirmama, nothing is mine. You see, if we can base our life on this and understand that Krishna or Bhagavan is the supreme proprietor, the supreme owner, and the best friend of all living entities as described in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 5, text number 29. Then we will achieve great peace and happiness. Krishna guarantees this. He says, Bhokdaram jagatapasam sarva loka maheshvaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam samsamrishati. He says, unto those who understand me as the supreme enjoyer, the supreme proprietor, and the best friend of all living entities, they achieve unlimited peace and happiness. So, it's not difficult to be happy. It doesn't depend on money. Of course, we need money. That's all right. But that money can never make you happy. Power can never make you happy. Having a healthy, strong, good-looking body can never make you happy. Having a nice Toyota minivan, it cannot make you happy. There's only one thing that can make you happy. And that is to see that God is the proprietor of everything and to engage everything that you think you own, which you don't really own, in the service of the Lord. In this way, you can become an enlightened soul, as we say in Sanskrit language, jivan mukta, a liberated soul. You can be a liberated soul as a brahmachari, as a grihastha, a vanaprastha, a sannyasi, in any order of life, you, even if you're a little kid, and like Prahlad or Dhruv, in any age, in any order of life, with any gender, in any sort of designation, you can become a Jivan Mukta, a liberated soul. And this is what we're training you here in the Hare Krishna movement how to do. So now we'll open it up for questions. There's papers floating around. If you need a paper, you want one, raise your hand if you don't have one. And we'll pass you a paper and a pen so you can jot down your question. Okay. While chanting, our mind tends to get disturbed. So how we can get our mind back to chanting? Well, you know something? Chanting is actually enchanting. You just have to give your mind a chance, you see. If you see your mind is slipping away like a mischievous monkey, just grab that thing and say, "Mind, get back here, come on." This is not the time to run around and play like a monkey. Mind, this is a time for meditation. Let's get back to our business. Just take the mind and grab it and pull it back. We feel fearful or anxious about material things, even though we are still chanting. Thus, how we can overcome this. You just have to have complete, total faith that Krishna will protect his devotee in every situation. Sometimes we do get scared. It's because we forget that Krishna will protect us. If you devote yourself to Krishna, Krishna will personally protect you in every situation for your whole life. At every minute he'll protect you. I know it happened to my wife and I. We were coming back from preaching in North Texas, and we hit a blizzard. And we, on this little tiny road, we hit the ice, and our car did a 270 degree spin and went flying off a very high bank backwards, and we were sure we were going to be killed. We were flying backwards through the air. This is a big drop. We knew we were going to hit and we impact and we'd be just a bloody mess and it'd all be over, you know. But she was chanting Hare Krishna and I was going Nisringadev. We were chanting, "This is it. Let's take shelter of the Lord. We're going to die within a minute. Let's just take shelter of the name and that's it." But it was amazing. There was so much snow that it was like a pillow. We landed, the car landed in a pillow of snow. There was not a single scratch on that car. There was not a dent. There was no damage at all. And some people saw us down there. It was a little one of those early Toyotas, which is little tiny, very light little cars. Really early Toyotas. So a bunch of people came and they pushed our Toyota back on the road and we made it in time for the Sunday feast at the temple with not a scratch, you see. So the thing is, you just have to have faith and always take shelter of Krishna, and then you have nothing to fear in any situation. Even if you're standing in front of a firing squad, you know, well, if Krishna wants me to die now, that's all right. He has a plan. And if he doesn't, their bullets won't affect me. Just like Prahlad, Hiranyakashipu tried to kill him in so many ways. Krishna threw him off a cliff. Hiranyakashipu threw him off a cliff and Krishna caught him. So you just have to have complete faith that Krishna will always protect you. There's many stories I could tell you, but there's not enough time. We had an armed robbery one time in our Miami temple. Armed gunmen came to the temple. That's a whole other story. And Krishna protected us. You know, they came with guns. They had a Brahmacharini hostage with a gun in her head demanding the money. It was a very intense scene. But they were running scared away from the temple. They didn't take one penny with them. And they didn't hurt any devotees either. Because Krishna protected us. Okay. I can't read that one. Okay. Does Gita have a promise when in this world all of the evil would end and the world will fill with love alone? Well, this material world is always going to be a nasty place because this is the prison house. Durga, you know, is in charge of this material world, and Durga, the word Durga means prison. She's the warden of the prison. So there are ages when this place does become relatively nice. The Satya Yuga, it becomes very saintly and wonderful. The Treta Yuga, it's 75% saintly. In the Dwarpa Yuga, it's 50% saintly. And in this age, it's only 25% safely, and it's going 25, 24, 23. I don't know where it is now, maybe about 8. Down to 8% saintliness and 92% demoniac consciousness. So there is an age which follows this, the Satya Yuga, and it will become very pious again. That's 427,000 years from now. However, if you will take up Krishna consciousness, you will be protected from the demoniac atmosphere of this planet, and you will be, Krishna will put you in a bubble of transcendental spiritual bliss. That's this Hare Krishna movement. It's a bubble. It's a culture within a culture. It's a spiritual, beautiful spiritual culture within the demoniac culture. Just like in downtown, I think in Iraq, they had that, they call it the Green Zone, where, you know, where it's highly high security. So this Krishna consciousness movement is a beautiful spiritual age happening right now. If you can fully absorb in this movement, you'll be living in a different atmosphere than the material world. So we welcome you to become fully absorbed in our participating in our movement. You will feel the peace, you will feel the bliss. Okay. Last year I made a resolution that I will memorize 3 slokas from the Bhagavad Gita a week, and I did it for 2 months, and I have given up. How can I improve and continue from this year at least? Please bless me to continue. Well, just pick up where you left off. I mean, it's memorizing verses is a wonderful, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing, because the more you can memorize verses, the more you'll be able to see the world through the eyes of the Bhagavad Gita. It's not just some mental exercise, but it will give you a new vision of reality. It will free you from anxiety. It will free you from distress. It will free you from fear. It will free you from lust. It will free you from greed. It will free you from envy. It will free you from anger. So please, 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 take up your Bhagavad Gita memorization program and take it very seriously. You will find innumerable benefits by doing them. Okay, why is Krishna blue? Krishna is the supreme controller, Param Ishvara. He can be whatever color he wants to be. If Krishna wants to be green, he can be green. If he wants to be orange, if he wants to be jet black, he's actually a bluish black, like a dark rain cloud. You ever seen a rain cloud in the sky, a really heavy rain coming? Really, really dark, dark rain. That's Krishna's, that's the closest thing to Krishna's color. He's a bluish, blackish, like a dark rain cloud. So why does Krishna sport that color? Well, Krishna obviously thinks it's pretty cool, and so does Radharani. Krishna is blue because he wants to be blue. It's not because his parents were blue, he has to be blue. He is his own parents. Krishna is his own father and mother. He is self-manifested. This is described in the Bhagavad Gita. I mean, in Sri Brahma Samhita. Ramadhi Murti Shakala Niyamena Tishtan Nanavatara Makarom Vivaneshakin Tu Krishnasvayam Samavat Parama Pamanyo Govinda Madhipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who manifested himself as Krishna. Krishna is self-manifested. So he's blue because he likes it. When you go to the clothing store, why did you pick out this particular shirt, sir? Because you thought it was a nice shirt, isn't it? And so Krishna, he can pick any color he wants because he's the Lord of everything. So he chooses to have that bluish, blackish complexion because he thinks it's really cool, and the gopis agree, they like it too. Okay. Any more questions? Pass them on up. Okay. Renunciation of the fruits of action on a lower platform is renunciation of the fruits of action on a lower platform than working for Krishna. Well, there's different conceptions of renunciation of the fruits of action. One, just like we're reading here, one may think, well, I'll donate my income to the poor. There are some people who do that. I've read about one man in India. He lived on practically nothing. He gave all of his income to the poor. So that's a certain type of renunciation, and that's laudable, you see. But the poor were still going to get sick and get old and die, even though he's giving them, they're getting mundane charity, food and clothing, or whatever they're getting. But when you can renounce the fruits of the work and offer it to Krishna, then you're actually engaging in an activity of bhakti which will liberate you and will have a liberating effect on every single living entity in the whole universe. So that is a higher type of renunciation of the fruits of action. Is there any way to renounce the fruits of action substantially without working for Krishna? Or sustainably? The other types of renunciation are imperfect and they won't last. But if you want them to be, you want to sustain the act of being renounced from the fruits of your work, then you need to offer to Krishna. That's the only permanently sustainable form of renunciation of the fruits of work. What if I cannot free myself of guilty of leaving one loved one behind in India? Well, we recommend you be Krishna conscious and make your love, don't abandon your loved ones. Make them Krishna conscious too. You see, Krishna never says that you have to give up your family. Did Arjuna give up his family when he surrendered to Krishna? No. Arjuna did not give up his family. He has wives, he had children. He did not give up. So surrendering to Krishna does not mean you give up your connection with your loved ones. It means you truly give love to your loved ones by sharing Krishna with them. That is real love, you see. When I share Krishna with someone, then I'm giving them the highest benefit. That is actual love. When you give your love to someone, the real giving of love is to give them Krishna, because any other love that you give them, it does not free them from their suffering. But if you give them Krishna, they become liberated from all of their suffering. They achieve their original position in the spiritual world. They become completely liberated. So instead of feeling guilty that you abandon your loved ones, give your loved ones Krishna. But actually, why only one loved one? You should... The real conception of family is all living entities. You say, well, my near and dear ones. That means in relation with your body. But why are you thinking in such a limited sectarian way? Why are you not seeing every living entity as your near and dear, you see? Even the little ant crawling along the sidewalk, he is also a near and dear one. He is my brother. Every single living entity is my near and dear, you see. So if we talk about the loved ones, we have to understand that every single living entity should be one of our loved ones. That is Krishna consciousness. Okay, we got about 5 minutes. Any other questions? All right. Is there any resolution that some of us can take up those who cannot take up full Krishna consciousness? Yeah. So, if you're not ready to fully take up Krishna consciousness, which you may not even understand what it is yet, you may be totally new to this, then as described in the Bhagavad Gita, well, you can do some service. Come here and do some service. Find some way in your spare time, your day off, come here and volunteer. Even if you just come here at least once a week, and you have the darshan, you take a little, take some prasad, you hear about Krishna, you do it done in the kirtan, you see. Just somehow or other, come here and participate in the activities of this temple. We understand that not everybody is ready to take up bhakti yet as the central focus of their life. We understand them. It's okay. Whatever your comfort zone is, that's all right. But you come here at least once a week. That is our request. Come here at least once a week, take the darshan, take some prasad, join in the kirtan, hear something about Krishna. In this way, your life will become greatly blessed. And gradually, Krishna consciousness will grow on you. Krishna is just like Matsya Avatar. Matsya Avatar started off a little tiny fish, and he grew bigger and bigger and bigger, and he filled up the whole universe. So if you can get a little bit of Krishna consciousness in your life now, that's very good. Because you take a little bit, and it grows a little bigger, and before you know it, you become completely liberated from material anxieties, because Krishna consciousness completely fills up your consciousness. So, are there any other questions? If not, we can stop here. And we thank you all very, very much for your coming tonight. We wish you, not only, everyone says Happy New Year, but we wish you a happy eternity. Why only 1 year? I wish you all a happy eternity may you all become reconnected with Krishna and have a happy eternity. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.
He's great.